Hey, it's Alan Chartok in the Congressional Corner with Antonio Delgado, who is now the congressman-elect from the 19th Congressional District, having defeated John Faso for that job. I guess I promised the last time we spoke I was going to ask you about the P word, Pelosi. You early came out and said, okay, you know, I'm going to vote for her. What was your thinking?
Well, I mean, my thinking was twofold. Chief among my thoughts was, how do I make sure that the focus remains on my district and making sure that I can provide some real wins for my district. And so when I sat down with Pelosi, we talked about that. We talked about the different things that I wanted to focus on pretty early on. And as I mentioned to you in our previous conversation, rural broadband access and really having a laser-like focus on that and having a commitment that I would be able to take a lead role in that area, co-sponsoring legislation, being the primary sponsor on a certain legislation. To me, that's critically important. In the same vein, you know, being able to take a lead role on the bipartisan opioid task force to fight for more funding around treatment of the opioid epidemic. And again, on water contamination, I laid all these things out in my release on the decision. So that's, you know, to me, in talking through this with Pelosi and making sure that there was some understandings here about how I wanted to proceed and getting commitments from her, to me, that was an important piece. And then on top of that, she's unopposed, you know, so given the fact that we're talking about the individual who is not opposed and has indicated to me that we can get to a place here where we can bring home some real outcomes and results for the people here at home, it seemed like a no-brainer at that point.
Have you talked to her?
Oh, yes. I mean, I talked to her extensively about the very things that I just outlined, from rural broadband access to water contamination to making sure that I can take a front and center role in dealing with the opioid epidemic. Absolutely. I wouldn't make this kind of decision without informing myself about how I can be best positioned to fight for the needs of the people here at home.
So here's an honesty question, Antonio. I don't know that you know my sense of what an honesty question is. If you don't answer honestly, a lightning bolt comes out of the sky and hits you in the head. So here is the question. Did you, when you spoke to her, did you like her?
I don't even know what that question gets at, to be honest with you. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I think we had a nice conversation. You know, I've continued to build a relationship with her and as many other individuals who I'm serving with in D.C. You know, I don't have any ill will towards her and or anybody else for that matter. You know, I'm coming into this situation trying to be as positive and as open-minded as I possibly can be, with the objective being, how do I make sure that I can best serve the needs and the desires of my community here at home.
Do you have to like somebody to deal effectively with them?
Oh, no. As a general matter, no.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it's helpful that there's mutual respect. You know, I think that's important. I think you can certainly not personally be agreeable with somebody or, you know, have be compatible per se. But I think that it is important that regardless of that fact, you should be respectful to each other and be civil and do whatever you can to find common ground so that you can achieve the outcomes desired.
Now, you've done some lobbying in your life. You're going to be swamped by lobbyists, obviously, trying to get to you. How do you play a lobbyist? What is it that you look for when somebody is trying to get you to do something?
Well, the first thing I want to do is correct the assumption in your question, which is that I've lobbied before. I've never lobbied a day in my life.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I'm a litigator. I've litigated as a lawyer. So I have never lobbied. But in terms of actually, you know, being engaged or approached by lobbyists, and you're right, they are all over D.C., you know, my focus, as I've stressed from the beginning of this process, is on making sure that I am beholden only to the people that put me in the seat. That's it. And for me to do that means making sure that I listen and I engage with everybody who has a perspective on the types of matters that I think are appropriate for discussion as they pertain to the needs of my district. But at the same time, understanding that the objective is to figure out how to take that information, if it suits the needs of my district, and incorporate that in hopefully some would-be legislation that can actually speak to the needs of the community. That's it. I will be judged, hopefully, by my ability to be present, to be accessible to the community, to be accountable, and to deliver results.
So here's the question then. We do know that it has often been said that lobbyists are the handmaidens, basically, of the guys with the money. You know, you want the money, you know, they're coming. And you and people know, legislators know, that, you know, you do the wrong thing, you don't get the money, you do what they want, you get the money from their backers. How do you balance that?
Well, you know, it's funny because we've already created the kind of paradigm that I think makes that dynamic or takes that dynamic off the table. I don't take corporate PAC money, and I didn't take any corporate PAC money during the campaign. I'm not taking any corporate PAC money now. So, you know, when a lobbyist approaches you, particularly a lobbyist who is lobbying on behalf of a corporation, you can short-circuit the conversation pretty quickly if you say, I don't take corporate PAC money. So, you know, I didn't win because I had corporate PAC money behind me, because I didn't. I won because I had the power of the people behind me. And the fact that I actually engaged and had small dollar donations all across this district from people who were dedicated and wanted to fight for change. And that's the model. And the key is to stay connected. The key is to continue to build, to continue to stay engaged, and to make sure that the trust is there between me and the folks here at home. That's it. And we have, I think, put ourselves in a position to continue to do that work. And as long as the people stay engaged and I do what I'm supposed to do on my end, hopefully we'll be able to build on this for years to come.
Now, there are a couple of, we only got 2 minutes, but there are a couple of the young stars in the House, Ocasio-Cortez, Hakeem Jeffries. Do you see yourself as a group? Do you see aligning with them?
Well, I align with people who are best positioned or who have advocated for things that I think we could cooperate on for the betterment of my district. So, you know, whether you're on the left or whether you're on the right or whether you're in the middle, it doesn't matter. If you're willing to, for example, expand healthcare, if you're willing to deal with the climate change crisis, if you're willing to lower drug prescription prices, if you're willing to figure out how we can invest in infrastructure, you know, as a principle, as a just a matter of general principle, I'm eager to work with anybody who shares the same sort of objectives that I do. And we might disagree on the method or the approach or the degree to which we need to go towards a certain end, but we certainly should have the conversation and figure out where there may be a meeting of the minds.
Always wonderful to talk to our friend, Representative-elect Antonio Delgado of New York's 19th District, perhaps the most important and contested victory in of all of the congressional races. Antonio, if I may call you that, thank you so much for being with us. When we come back the next time, well, I got a lot of other questions.
Excellent. Look forward to it, sir. Thanks for having me.